सो अहंकार इति प्रोक्तो विकुर्वन् समभूत्रिधा वैकारिकस्तेजसश्च तामसश्चेति तद्भिधा द्रव्यशक्तिक्रियाशक्ते ज्ञानशक्तेरिति प्रभो सोऽहंकार इति प्रोक्तो विकुर्वन् समभूत्रिधा वैकारिकस्तेजसश्च तामसश्चेति तद्भिधा द्रव्यशक्तिक्रियाशक्तेर् ज्ञानशक्तेरिति प्रभो सोऽहंकार इति प्रोक्तो विकुर्वन् समभूत्रिधा वैकारिकस्तेजसश्च तामसश्चेति यद्भिधा द्रव्यशक्तिक्रियाशक्तेर् ज्ञानशक्तेरिति प्रभो सोऽहंकार इति प्रोक्तो विकुर्वन् समभूत्रिधा वैकारिकस्तेजसश्च तामसश्चेति यद्भिधा द्रव्यशक्तिक्रियाशक्ते ज्ञानशक्तेरिति प्रभो सोऽहंकार इति प्रोक्तो विकुर्वन् समभूत्रिधा वैकारिकस्तेजसश्च तामसश्चेति यद्भिधा ज्ञानशक्तिक्रियाशक्तेर् ज्ञानशक्तेरिति प्रभो इति प्रोक्तो विकुर्वन् समभूत्रिधा शक्तिक्रियाशक्ते ज्ञानशक्तिरिति प्रभो मतजिस् word by word in translation saha the very same thing ahankara ego iti thus prokta said vikurvan being transformed samabhut became manifested tridha in three features vaikarika in the mode of goodness tejasa in the mode of passion cha and tamasa in the mode of ignorance cha also iti thus yet what is bidha divided dravya shakti powers that evolve matter kriya shakti initiation that creates ज्ञान शक्ति इंटेलिजेंस दैट गाइड्स इति दस प्रभो ओ मास्टर ट्रांसलेशन पर्पट बाय श्री प्रभुपाद ट्रांसलेशन The self-centered materialistic ego, thus being transformed into three features, becomes known as the mode of goodness, passion and ignorance in three divisions, namely the powers that evolve matter, knowledge of material creation and the intelligence that guides such materialistic activities. Narada, you are quite competent to understand this. Purport. Materialistic ego, or the sense of identification with matter, is grossly self-centered, devoid of clear knowledge of the existence of God. And this self-centered egoism of the materialistic living entity is a cause of their being conditioned by the other paraphernalia and continuing their bondage of the material existence. In the Bhagavad Gita, this self-centered egoism is very nicely explained in the 7th chapter, verses 24 through 27. The self-centered impersonalist, without a clear conception of the personality of the Godhead, concludes in his own way that the personality of the Godhead takes a material shape from his original impersonal spiritual existence for a particular mission. And this misleading conception of the Supreme Lord by the self-centered impersonalist continues, even though he is seen to be very interested in the Vedic literatures, such as Brahma Sutra or other highly intellectual sources of knowledge. This ignorance of the personal feature of the Lord is due simply to ignorance of the mixture of different modes. The impersonalist thus cannot conceive of the Lord's eternal spiritual form of eternal knowledge, bliss and existence. The reason is that the Lord reserves the right of not exposing himself to the non-devotee who, even after a thorough study of literatures like Bhagavad Gita, remains an impersonalist simply by obstinacy. This obstinacy is due to the action of Yoga Maya, a personal energy of the Lord that acts like an ADD camp by covering the vision of the obstinate impersonalist. Such a bewildered human being is described as mudha, or grossly ignorant, because he is unable to understand the transcendental form of the Lord as being unborn and unchangeable. If the Lord takes a form or material shape from his original impersonal feature, then it means that he is born and changeable from impersonal to personal. But he is not changeable, nor does he ever take a new birth like a conditioned soul. The conditioned soul may take a form birth after birth due to his conditional existence in matter, but the self-centered impersonalist, by their gross ignorance, accept the Lord as one of them because of self-centered egoism, even after so-called advancement of knowledge in the Vedanta. The Lord, being situated in the heart of every individual living entity, knows very well the tendency of such conditioned souls in terms of past, present and future, but the bewildered conditioned soul hardly can know him in his eternal form. By the will of the Lord, therefore, the impersonalist, even after knowing the Brahman and Paramatma feature of the Lord, remains ignorant of his eternal personal feature as ever-existent Narayana, transcendental to all material creation. The cause of such gross ignorance is constant engagement by the materialistic man in the matter of artificially increasing material demands. To realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one has to purify the materialistic senses by devotional service. The mode of goodness, or the Brahminical culture recommended in the Vedic literature, is helpful to such spiritual realization, and thus the Jnana Shakti stage of the conditioned soul is comparatively better than the other two stages, namely Dravya Shakti and Kriya Shakti. The whole material civilization is manifested by a huge accumulation of the materials, or in other words, raw materials for industrial purposes and the industrial enterprises, Kriya Shakti, are all due to gross ignorance of the spiritual life. In order to rectify this great anomaly of the material civilization based on the principles of Dravya Shakti and Kriya Shakti, one has to adopt the process of devotional service of the Lord by adoption of the principles of Karma Yoga mentioned in Bhagavad Gita 9.27 as follows. Yat karosi yadashnasi yajjuhosi tadasi yat yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat kuruswa madarpanam. O son of Kunti, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, as well as all austerities that you may perform, should be done as an offering unto me. Shri Prabhupada ki. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpabhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhyaye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, welcome everyone to morning Bhavatan class. I seek blessing from all the devotees who are assembled over here and whoever are hearing online so that I can speak something for my purification and for the pleasure of the devotees. So we are reading the second canto, fifth chapter over here. So second canto is one of the most technical sections, the whole description of the creation is given. Not many pastimes, but lot of technical discussions goes on. So just a brief summary, how this point of discussion of this sloka is coming over here. So Narada Muni is approaching Brahmaji and asking questions. So if you see the questions he is asking about, how does this creation take place, from where everything has come about. So if you see, this kind of an inquisitiveness everybody has. If somebody has seen a small child, he'll be constantly inquisitive. He'll be constantly troubling their parents. What is this? What is that? Sometimes parents may get disturbed. Why you want to know everything? But still, if you see, that inquisitiveness is there in the living entity. And this inquisitiveness is not something related to eating, sleeping, mating and defending. The small child is not asking what I should eat, how I should defend myself. It is nothing to do with that eating, sleeping, mating, defending. But it is something more. Just want to know for the sake of wanting to know. Just being curious about knowing. So in the Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna says, four kind of people, they approach Krishna. Artho, Artharthi, Jignyasu, Jnani. And interestingly, Krishna says, Artho, Jignyasu, Artharthi. And he keeps the Jignyasu in between Artho and Artharthi. So at least Acharya say that the Artho and Artharthi who are coming to Lord for the distress or some wanting something, at least they should come to the position of inquisitiveness. Why this Lord is giving me whatever I am asking? Why this Lord is there standing all the time? Some kind of inquisitiveness should come about in the person. And from there the person can remain in the devotional service. So this inquisitiveness, that which is very important, and it is naturally comes to a living entity, and especially in the human form of life. If you see the Vedanta Sutra, it says, Athato Brahma Jignyasa. Now that you have come to the form of human life, inquire into the absolute truth. In the form of all animals, you have been inquiring about eating, sleeping, mating and defending, but in the human form of life, inquire about the absolute truth. And Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter also, Sukadeva Goswami, when he is presenting, he says, Jivasya Tattva Jignyasa. One is not supposed to do dharma, artha, kama, moksha for the sake of only enjoying sense gratification, but one should engage in the Tattva Jignyasa. So that Jignyasa part which is there, which helps one actually understand. So then somebody, people go to school and start learning so many things. Nowadays, education system is like, you take up, there is some question, there is an answer, you mug up, and then you produce in an answer paper, and then you get marks, and then you forget what you have mugged up. So, but the learning doesn't happen over there. The actual learning happens when a person starts asking questions. That's why it is said that a teacher is one who can raise question in the student's mind. And then the question is answered. The thing is, sticks to the heart of the person who is asking. That's why even in Bhagavad Gita also, when Krishna says how one should approach a guru, he says, Pariprasnena Sevaya. You know, just that humble menial services are there, but at the same time, the one is expected to ask questions also and learn from the guru. So, this inquisitiveness is there, and the inquisitiveness comes, and at the time we ask from where this whole world has come, somebody sees the skies, stars, they start asking from where all the stars have come, the natural question they come up. And similarly here, Narada Muni is also asking the question to Brahmaji. From where this whole world has come up. So he is not just asking one simple question, he is asking in a very technical details also. In the second verse of this fifth chapter, Narada Muni asks six questions. Yad Rupam, Yad Adhishtanam, Yad Srishtam, Idam Prabhu, Yad Samstam, Yad Param, Yadcha. He says, Yad Rupam, what are the characteristics of this universe? Yat Adhishtanam, what is the shelter of this universe? Yat Srishtam, how it is created? Yat Samstham, how it is conserved, or rather how it is annihilated? Yat Param, what it is dependent on what the whole world is dependent on? And lastly, Yat Cha, what it is composed of? So Brahmaji is answering these questions one by one. So now, initially Brahmaji says, of course, after that, Narada Muni asks one more question. It seems you are the whole and soul, but Brahmaji accepts, I am not, there is somebody above me. And answering these questions, in the verse 14, Brahmaji says, the five elements from where this whole universe is made, Dravya, Kala, Karma, Swabhava and Jiva, they are non-different from Vasudeva. He answers that first question of Yat Rupam. What is the characteristics of this universe? He says, it is all composed of Vasudeva. It is connected. He says, and then Yat Adhishtanam. What is the shelter of this universe? And then he says, Narayana is the shelter of this universe. Narayana Paroveda Deva Narayana Angradha. that whole verse series of 15 and 16 verses are there. And then from the verse 21 to 35, in 15 verses, Brahmaji starts answering how this whole world is created. That is the third question asked by Narada Muni. And we are in the middle of that answer. That is 24th verse we are here. So we are trying to see how this whole world is created in a short. And then, try to see what Brahmaji is adding over there. So answer this question starts from verse number 21. It says, Kala karma svabhavasya mayesho mayaya swayam atmanam yadruchaya praptam vibhushur upadade. So basically, we know that when the creation has to happen, the Karano Dakshaya Vishnu, who is sleeping on the Karana ocean, when he breathes out the infinite number of universes, they come out. So that's how we see the creation image also. So there is more detail how it is happening over here. So first of all, there is a material nature that is called as Pradhana. So onto the Pradhana, the Mahavishnu glances, he sees, and just by seeing, he impregnates the Pradhana. So what are all constitutes the glands of the Mahavishnu? Karano Dakshaya Vishnu, it is Kala, Karma and Swabhava. Kala is the time factor. So till that, there was no time factor which is agitating the material nature. The time factor starts when the Lord glances over the material nature. And the Karma and the Swabhava, they are coming from the living entities. The living entities in this previous creation, they have acquired some kind of a nature and they are supposed to go through some kind of a results. So with these two, they enter into the Pradhana. So in the 21st verse, he says, Kala karma subhavasya mayesho maya swayam vibhushur upadate. And the 22nd verse, he says, Kalad guna vetikara parinama subhavataha. And because of this Kala, the time factor can be very easily understood. Like if somebody is cooking, so if you want to make khichdi, you put water, then you put rice, then you put a lot of sabji, but the khichdi doesn't come out. We have to put fire below. And when the fire starts acting, the whole ingredients in the vessel starts reacting. So like that, the pradhan is there, everything is there in an unmanifested state, an equilibrium state. Something has to move everything. And the Kala is the force that which starts moving all this Pradhana. And every creation starts happening. Karma no janna mahatam. So what is produced from there is Mahat Tattva. So from the Pradhana, it transforms into Mahat Tattva. So in that Pradhana, there was also three modes of material nature also, which were in the equilibrium state. And in the 23rd verse, it says that last time it was done, Mahattastu vikurvanat rajas sattvopa brahmita tama pradhanastu abhavat dravya jnana kriyatmakaha. So from the Mahattattva, when it is acted upon by the three modes of the material nature. So initially three modes of material nature were there in equilibrium state. When the time starts acting, so each mode starts acting on this Mahatattva. And when each mode starts acting on this Mahatattva, different things are being produced. So basically the Mahatattva, when it is predominated by the mode of goodness, it is called as Mahatattva. When it is predominated by passion, so it is called as a Sutra Tattva, Rajap Pradhana, the 23rd verse spoke about. And then the next comes is Tamah Pradhana, when the mode of ignorance start acting on the Mahatattva. And then the verse 23 says, what is produced when the mode of ignorance start acting on that? Dravya, Jnana and Kriya. So in this verse also, there is Dravya, Jnana and Kriya. Some more details of that is coming in this verse. So this verse just says, so Ahankara iti Prokta. So that which is produced from the mode of ignorance is called as Ahankara. So this is also very poetic way of Bhagavatam presenting. So Bhagavatam doesn't tell that from ignorance Ahankara came. He says from ignorance Dravya, Jnana and Kriya has come, and that is called as Ahankara. So Ahankara iti Prokta. That is called as Ahankara. We will see what that implication is ahead. So this Dravya, Jnana and Kriya, they are produced, so they are also products of modes, or three different modes. Like we see, like there are three modes and they act with one another, and then 3 into 3, 9 it forms, and then again they act on one another, and then 9 into 9, 81, like that. There is multiples. So here also, Mahatattva acted upon by Tamas is Ahankar, and when that Ahankar is seen in three modes, Ahankar in Sattva, Ahankar in Raja and Ahankar in Tamogun, what we get is this Dravya, Kriya and Jnana Shakti. So the description goes ahead from the 25th to 31 verses. I'll just briefly say. So Dravya Shakti, which is coming when the Mahatattva or when the Ahankar is acted upon by ignorance. Ahankar itself is ignorance, and when that ignorance is compounded by the more ignorance, there are 5 tanmatras and 5 elements are created. Bhumi, Apo, Nanalo, Vayu, and then the touch, sound, form, all these 5 tanmatras and the 5 elements are produced. And when this Ahankara is acted upon by passion, that is mode of passion, the Kriya Shakti it is called as. And what that produces? It produces prana, the life force, that which is actively active principle. And it also produces the intelligence of the living entities. And it produces 10 senses. We have 5 working senses and 5 knowledge acquiring senses. So previously the 5 tanmatras and 5 elements, they are dull matter. But the senses are, at least they have some activity that they do. So that's why it is the transformation from the passion, prana and intelligence. And then the last is this Ahankara, when it is acted upon by the mode of goodness. So what is produced is called as a Jnana Shakti. And that Jnana Shakti, from that Jnana Shakti, the mind arises. So mind is coming from the mode of goodness. That's what we also hear. So along with the mind, there are 10 sense devatas also, they come up. It is not that we are acting on our own. For us to do any activity, a particular devata is also there. For every 10 senses that we have, there are 10 demigods who are responsible. So that 10 devatas who are responsible for the activity of the senses, they come from the Jnana Shakti. So this is the entire elements which have been created. So this whole creation is happening from the Mahavishnu. This whole creation, till the manifestation of this 10 senses, 5 elements and 5 tanmatras and everything, this entire thing is called as the Karana Srishti. The elements that which are needed for the creation are being created. And from these elements, one has to manipulate, and then the whole material universes are made. And that is called as a Karya Srishti. So then Bhagavatam goes on telling that this all 23 elements, 10 sense devatas, intelligence, 10 senses, tanmatras, elements which are all there, they again form into various universes. So from this, after this transformation, individual universes start coming up. And into the individual universes, Lord enters as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. And then from there the Brahmaji comes, he divides into 14 planetary systems, and the whole creation goes on. So in essence, this creation has been described like this here. And Bhagavatam, at 2-3 different places this creation has been mentioned, and to understand it becomes very difficult, but with the help of our teachers like Balaram Shakti Prabhu and Gauranga Darshan Prabhu, the whole creation comes into one small simple chart, and it becomes very easy to remember what is coming after what. Realizing that will take time, because we don't see them what it is. But we can in one sense understand what is being presented in the Bhagavatam. So at sometimes we hear that in some scriptures the creation is very minutely described. Lord said, let there be light, and there was light. Let there be universe, and there was a universe. Let there be earth, there was earth. And here we say that Bhagavatam gives much more details of how each element has been formed. So how Mahatattva is formed, how Pradhan is formed, how each element is formed. Every detail is been given. But if a devotee thinks, chalo, let me go and present this to a scientist and let him accept that, see, Bhagavatam is presenting everything. And for a scientifically minded person, he says, your Bhagavatam is not giving any extra explanation than the scriptures that you are calling very simple. Because the same thing that which is said over there, the Lord said, let there be light, and there was light. And here we are also saying, Lord glanced, and the whole creation happened. So what more detail am I getting? So the scientist will not be in a position to appreciate. So if you see, what really hampers them, because whenever the scientists, specifically the modern scientists, when they want to come up with a new science, new technology, at the end of the day, what they want to do is, they want to play the part of a God. God created human being, let us create a robot. The human being can dance, let me create a robot which can also dance. Human being can sing, human being can speak, let me create a machine that which can also behave like a human being. So, last 2-3 years back, it is said that even there are some robots which can do aarti for the Lord also. All the modern technology is going to that extent. So we want to make the machines more and more personal, but at the end of the day, human beings are becoming more and more impersonal. So because the scientist, he has that particular understanding that when I hear the process of the creation, at the end of the day, I should be able to do it. So suppose you, some student goes to school, learning chemistry, and at the end of the experiment, he is supposed to learn and he is supposed to do on his own. Otherwise, the learning doesn't consider it full. So in the materialistic life, that is fine. But when it comes to the spiritual life, that doesn't apply over here. And when the scientists, again and again, when they hear, everything has happened because the touch of the Lord, because the touch of the Lord, he says, you best remove this touch of the Lord. Can there happen because with my touch, you want to act like that? So, that's why Prabhupada speaks so much in the purport about the self-centered impersonalist. So when that self-centeredness is there, I want to be the creator of doing something, then we will not be able to understand what is being presented over here. So that is a problem with the scientists who are dealing with the matter. And there is the same problem with the impersonal Mayavadis also. Because at the end of the day, a Mayavadi wants to become one with the God. He does not want to serve the God, but he wants the material nature to serve him. He wants to be the Lord. So that's why he will also not find it so easy to understand the whole descriptions over here. It says, why the Lord is doesn't reveal himself, the Prabhupada writes very nicely over here. The reason is that the Lord reserves the right of not exposing himself to the non-devotee. He reserves the right of not exposing. So it is not, knowing the Lord is not the activity of somebody's intelligence. So when the Lord reveals himself, we can understand. That's why when you come in front of the Lord, we say, Radha Gopinath is giving darshan. It is the Lord who gives darshan. It is not that I go and take, see the form of the Lord. So if we try to just go and see the form of the Lord, it will be only eye massage. So, like that, when the Lord reveals, it comes, and the Lord doesn't reveal to somebody who has this self-centered, egoistic tendencies. So that's why Bhagavatam says, Athapi te deva padamujadvayam prasada leshanu grahita evahi. If one have one small speck of mercy attained, then one can understand the Supreme Lord. So now, we'll just think of one thing. Why this whole Bhagavatam is presenting this creation part? In the 12th canto, 12th chapter, there's a sloka says, Kalimala samhato kalano klesho hari ritaratra na giyate hi abhikshanam ihato punar bhagavan ashesha murti paripato anupatham kata prasanga anupatham. So in this Bhagavatam, the Lord is again and again glorified. His innumerable personal expansions is abundantly and constantly described throughout the various narrations of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we are in a narration where the creation is being described. But the Bhagavatam is supposed to describe the personal expansions and his pastimes. So here also, when the creation is being explained, so we may not be talking about the Leelavataras and activities of the Lord. But we can see that this is the activity, this is the Leela of the Karanodakshaya Vishnu. So generally we are attracted to hear the pastimes of Lord Ram, Narsingadev, Varaha, Vamana. But here, what is presented is the activities of the Karanodakshaya Vishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu who are doing the creation activities. So, you see, when the scientist hears the creation and all, he wants to understand how he can do. But how does a devotee look at this? So he looks just as, oh, this is the activities of my Lord. And just when he hears that the Lord can create just by glancing on the pradhan, he feels so happy. Just see, my Lord is so powerful that he can create entire creation just by glancing over it. So that's why a devotee relishes in the glorification of the Lord. So wherever there is a glorification of the Lord, so it is not the glorification of the personal self. We are glorifying some other person, that is Supreme Lord. So for a materialistic person, for a self-centered, egoistic person, the happiness comes from the glorification of the person himself. So that's why a scientist also wants to do something that the God is doing. But here a devotee takes pleasure when the glories of the Lord are being sung. So that's why, even though the devotee doesn't really get the details, even though the devotee doesn't understand what exactly is pradhan, what exactly is mahatattva, how does it look, but it is okay. Just because of the glands, the entire creation is happening and this is the process. The devotee takes pleasure in just knowing the facts. So we have one nice example where the shoe is again and again shown. Narada Muni goes to Vaikuntha and comes back and he gives the report to the one cobbler and one brahmana. What Narayana is doing over there, he is just threading an elephant into the needle of eye of a needle. The brahmana says, it is not possible. How can somebody thread a elephant into the eye of a needle, because the Brahmana himself cannot do it. So he has never seen something happening like that. But when he speaks to the cobbler, he says, "Oh, how glorious my Lord is. He can do anything. He can put such a big tree into such a small seed. So it is not wonder that the Lord can put an elephant into the eye of a needle." So this is the mood in which the devotee really takes the glories of the Lord. And when we take this subject matters in this particular mood, we will also be safe. Otherwise, there is one more verse which speaks, Ramanandara and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Samvad is going on, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking about what is the goal, what is the thing to be done, and then Ramanandara is going on presenting various things, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, eho bahya, something deeper, deeper, more and more. And then Ramanandara comes to one particular verse where he says, Jnane prayasa mudapasya namantayeva. He says, Jnane prayasa mudapasya. The endeavor that one is constantly doing to know the things by one's own intelligence, that has to be udapasya, completely given up. And then one has to jivanti san mukharitam bhavadiya vartha. One has to sit and learn and hear the glories of the Supreme Lord from the sadhus. And such a person can really conquer the Lord, even though the Lord is unconquerable. So this verse Ramanandarai speaks from Bhagavatam, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Yeho hai, please go ahead. You are right on track. Now you go ahead. Because here the mood of jnana prayasa is completely kept aside. So when we can keep aside the prayas of understanding the technical details, and when we start glorifying the Lord for what he is doing, that when we can actually relish what Bhagavatam is presenting. Otherwise, the questions and answers will never end. There is so many contradictions that which we'll apparently see even in the scriptures. But when we go to a devotee, we will get right answers. But we should have that humility to go sit in front of a sadhu and listen from him. So what does a materialistic scientist or a impersonalist want to do is, wherever there is a gap, he wants to put his own theory. Because this is a gap, so I will start speculating. So when that speculation really takes a person away from the Lord. So now, with this few little background, I just thought of again revisiting the whole section of this second canto, fifth chapter, at various places where Brahmaji is highlighting the presence of the Lord. This is the first verse of the fifth chapter. Narada Muni asking a question to Brahmaji. He says, Deva Deva Namastestu Bhuta Bhavana Purvaja Tad Vijigniha Yajnanam Atma Tattva Nidarshanam. Atma Tattva Nidarshanam is transcendental knowledge, specifically direct. So please speak about that which gives the transcendental knowledge. So Narada Muni is not asking about the technical details. So Narada Muni, his question itself is starting about, I want to know about the transcendence. And then he puts forward these six questions. So through these six questions, what he wants to understand is Atmagyan. Not about the how exactly creation is happening, so that keeping Brahma aside, Narada Muni can go on and create his own creation. He does not have that intention. And because of this one, and then the whole discussion that which comes about is also presenting the Atma Tattva. So in the Atma Tattva there are two parts. One is how Lord has created this whole material world, how the Lord is the cause of this material world, and then the next is how the living entity is completely conditioned in this material world. So in the 21st verse, from where the description of this creation has started, so Brahmaji says, Mayesho Mayaya Swaya. So he says, this Lord is the Isha, the controller of the Maya. That is one thing he is mentioning over there. And his Atmanam Yadrichaya Praptam. Yadrichaya is by his own will. The whole creation is happening because of the will of the Lord. Not because of any by chance. It is the will of the Lord. So that is one thing that Brahmaji is pointing out over there. And the second, 22nd verse, he says, Purushad Adhishtataha, under the direction of the Lord. Sometimes a person wills to happen something and somebody else executes it, and it may not happen according to the will of the person. But here, the what is happening is also happening exactly as per the Lord wants. Completely under the direction of the Lord. So that is Brahmaji is pointing out in the 22nd verse. The Lord is there under his control, it is happening. And then the whole description of the Mahatattva Pradhan, it all comes. And one interesting thing, the 6 questions which have been asked, as we discussed in the starting also. The first question was answered in the verse number 14. And the second question was answered in the verse number 15 and 16. And the third question is starting at the 21st. So what is happening in between? 17 to 20. So there Brahmaji is just presenting what is the difference between a living entity and the Supreme Lord. And while presenting that, Brahmaji says the living entity is conditioned by the material nature and he is suffering in this material world. So it is a specifically the 19th verse, Brahmaji says, Karya Karana Kartutve Dravya Jnana Kriyashrayaha Badnati Nityada Muktam Mayinam Purushang Gunaha. So the Narada Muni is asking about the Atma Tattva. So living entity, what is happening with that? So Brahmaji is just presenting, living entity is conditioned in this material nature by 3 things. One is Dravya, Jnana and Kriya. So with this Dravya, Jnana and Kriya, the living entity has been Badnati, has been conditioned. So this is presented much before the description of the creation has started. So these 3 terms were used. So that's why when this, if you see in this verse 23, the Brahmaji doesn't say that Mahatattva transformed into Ahankar out of in the mode of ignorance. He says, from that Mahatattva came this Dravya, Jnana and Kriya, which are binding the living entity. So what is more focus in the description of the creation is not how each elements are been coming. The one focus is how the Supreme Lord is the cause of the whole creation. And the second is how various elements are tying up or binding the living entities. So he said, Dravya Jnana Kriya has completely bound the living entity, he said. And then here, 23, he says, from this Mahatattva, in Tamas, Dravya Jnana and Kriya have come up. And then next verse here, the Brahmaji says, that is called as Ahankar, the self-centered egoism. So you explain what is actually troubling the person, and then we give a particular name so that the person also remembers. So this is what I am supposed to be careful about. So here, like that, so that's why Prabhupada also goes on very detailedly speaking about the self-centered egoism, which is the cause of the whole material world, which is manifesting in the form of a Dravya, Jnana and Kriya. So here the verse is Dravya Shakti, Kriya Shakti and Jnana Shakti. So now what is Dravya Shakti, Kriya Shakti and Jnana Shakti? That may be a little more technical details into it, but in the Prabhupada, in the purport, tries to present it as simple as possible for us. Kriya Shakti, Prabhupada writes as industrial enterprises. the lot of activities that people are doing in this material world. And Dravya Shakti that we have seen is the various tanmatras and various elements. So already the senses and the sense objects, they bind the person, that we understand. And the secondly, what even more binds a person is the lot of activities, the karma that the material activities the person is doing. And Jnana Shakti, which is also binding a person, and Prabhupada writes as Brahmanical culture recommended in the Vedic literature. So Prabhupada writes there, at least this Jnana Shakti is better than the Kriya Shakti and the Dravya Shakti. So instead of engaging in the gross sense gratification or doing the activities to improve the material prosperity, one should engage oneself in the Brahmanical culture given in the Vedic literature. So that is also the bonding in the mode of goodness, that also one has to come out of it. But the way we practice is, we try to come to the mode of goodness and from there we transcend. So that's why the Jnana Shakti here, Prabhupada is recommending. So, so this is how, in the second canto here, the whole description of the creation is going on. But the main important point that Prabhupada is focusing, Brahmaji is focusing, and Narada Muni was also asking is about who is the cause and how the living entity is bound. And we have seen the devotee takes pleasure in hearing the glories of the Lord. So if we keep that aside and want to understand detail, then lot of problems can come, because when you become self-centered, then that causes lot of problems. So I stop my presentation over here. Thank you everyone for patiently listening. So if you have any corrections or comments, okay. Otherwise, Sri Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.